From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Oh, man, it's nice to see you, too. We have got such a great show for you today. We've got indie rock superstar Nico Case. She'll be joining us later to play Not My Job. But first, come on, what a week we had in the news.
Peter?
Yeah,
Peter?
Carl? Yes?
Peter, I'm resigning my post as judge and scorekeeper.
But we've hardly begun the show.
Well, sure. I could stay here for the rest of the hour and milk it. But that's just radio as usual. And only dead fish go with the flow.
All right, okay. How about if we can get you Carl Castle's voice on your home answering machine?
Oh? Okay, I'll stay.
Great. Give us a call before he changes his mind. The number to call, 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Van from Middleborough, Massachusetts.
Hey, Van, how are you?
Hey.
Good.
What do you do there in Middleborough?
I'm an engineer.
An engineer? Are you an IT engineer? Or do you actually make stuff?
We make stuff.
Oh, making stuff. Nice. I've heard of that. I thought they only did that in China.
Well, we actually subcontract some of our work out.
There you go.
But we do some of it here, too.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. All right.
USA.
Ben, welcome to the show. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, you know her from Saturday Night Live and her monologues, God Said Ha and Letting Go of God. She's performing in the Jill and Julia Show at Evanston Space in Evanston, Illinois on August 1st. Her name is Julia Sweeney. Hello, Julia.
Hello.
Next, it's a writer for HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher, Mr. Adam Felber.
Hi, Ben.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, good.
And lastly, a comedian whose first CD, I Heart Jokes, is out now. She's performing at the Vixen in Provincetown, Mass., July 15th and 16th, two nights. Paula Poundstone right here.
Hi, Paula.
Hey, Van.
Van, welcome to the show. Now, you are going to start us off, of course, with Who's Carl This Time. Carl Castle will recreate three quotes from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain two of them, you'll win our prize, Carl Castle's voice on your home answering machine. Ready to go?
Yes, sir.
All right. Here is your first quote.
I am not a quitter. I am a fighter.
That was somebody who quit. Who was it?
Mrs. Palin.
Yes, Mrs. Palin, Sarah Palin, governor of Alaska.
What, are you her paper boy?
He's polite. We should encourage that. Okay, imagine, if you will, it's last September, and you're admiring the Republican ticket, the ancient senator from Arizona, the youthful, vibrant governor of Alaska, and then we ask you to predict which of them will retire first. Now, Sarah Palin, to be fair, has had a tough week since suddenly announcing she was resigning as governor of Alaska. Everybody was giving her a hard time. Even the magic talking salmon she caught on her holiday fishing trip refused to grant her three wishes, saying, hell, you'll just give up after the first two. Now, an awful lot of people have tried to figure out the real reason for her sudden resignation right before the holiday, saying it doesn't make sense. But we say, sense? Sense? This is Sarah Palin.
The lieutenant governor was almost tearful. Did you notice that?
I did not notice that.
Yeah, the lieutenant governor looked like someone had just sucked the wind out of his body.
I know. I think he was surprised.
I
wasn't sure when she started if she even knew where she was headed with the speech by the time she got to the resignation.
You mean...
Really, I thought like during the speech she was like, you know, I was sort of thinking about this in the back of my head and I'm just going to go with it.
Yeah.
So when she started talking... She didn't know if she was going to resign, if she was going to proclaim herself the Messiah. She could have gone in any direction.
Run again, and then she was like, oh, and then she just started thinking about the next year and a half, and then it was like, oh, forget it.
Yeah. Wow. I think that's why the lieutenant governor didn't look that happy. You know,
no,
she was like, this is the worst
surprised.
Job in the world. It's been terrible. It's been agony. People have made fun of me. They made fun of my children. And now I want you to do it.
Here, Van, is your next quote.
We don't really understand why he is such a star.
That was a man on the street in Russia speaking this week about a visitor he was clearly unimpressed with. Who?
President Obama.
Exactly right. So Obama goes to Russia to do some summitry, to talk nuclear disarmament, and to get new orders from the Comintern. But the Russians seemed immune to his nuclear-powered charm rays. Among other things, Russians, as we know, tend not to go in for cults of personality.
Yeah. Yeah. Who has he poisoned?
Exactly.
He has poisoned no one. What's the big deal?
Anyway, Obama...
His enemies live.
But this is true.
They live.
But this is true. Obama was criticized for some rare diplomatic missteps. For one thing, again true, he chose to spend an evening with his family. That offended the Russians because he did that rather than go out drinking with Vladimir Putin. All true. Putin was really looking forward to showing him the trick where he drinks a glass of vodka while President Medvedev keeps talking. It's so good. Putin's so proud of that. Meanwhile, the Republicans here at home, marveling at the discovery of a population that did not go gaga for Obama, immediately dropped their anti-immigration platform and announced a massive airlift of Russians into key swing states. All right, Van, here's your last quote.
I was like, Michael, what's up with the glove?
That was Brooke Shields, one of the speakers at a huge media event on Tuesday. What was the event?
It was the tribute to Michael Jackson.
It was the Michael Jackson Memorial on Tuesday. Ancient, yes, he's right. Awesome. On Tuesday, ancient Egyptian pharaohs looked down from their afterlife and said, man, I had a pretty good send-off with the pyramids and the bonfires and the slaves. But I didn't get Katie Couric to come and anchor coverage at the site. Nobody did any work for an hour and a half on Tuesday. People who were injured in accidents had to wait for it to be over for the paramedics to show up. And when they came, they were all weepy and humming We Are the World, and they were wearing just one rubber glove. Meanwhile, Mr. Jackson had a little trouble, just a little trouble getting into heaven because St. Peter checked him against the album cover of Thriller and didn't recognize him. But then Michael did a moonwalk. Everything was cool. They let him in. They like him up there.
All right. Michael Jackson was Michael Jackson. I don't know what the guy did, what he didn't do. I have no interest in the topic. What I can't figure out is a whole country who they wouldn't play his albums. They were angry. People were, he was terrible. People made jokes about him. And then he dies and they're like, oh, Mike, oh. I just don't you think that's a little bit weird
that
no
everybody?
One seems to notice how strange it is that everyone did some sort of bizarre reversal? Let me just say this. I think the time to express love for someone is when they are alive.
One of the odder moments of it was when Representative Sheila Jackson Lee showed up to talk about this resolution she was introducing in Congress to officially honor Jackson for his exemplary life. But Nancy Pelosi... Speaker of the House refused to bring the bill up for a vote. She said that Congress already honors Jackson every day by being freakishly dysfunctional. Carl, how did Van do?
Van had three correct answers, Peter, so he wins our prize.
Well done. Right now, panel, it's time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Paula, starting this month, China is requiring all computers in that country to come with new internet filters. The filters are not only excellent at blocking pornography, they also have screened out what?
They have screened out, I don't know, stuff that the government doesn't like.
No, I'll give you a hint. China won't risk exposing its citizenry to the corrupting influence of John Arbuckle and lasagna-loving cats.
That's a hint.
That is.
John Arbuckle and lasagna loving cats. Screened out cooking shows?
The internet in China doesn't even work on Mondays.
I don't think it's going to help her, though.
It's not helping me at all. It's almost a cruel taunt.
Yeah.
There's no way I can tell you.
Okay.
Adam, do you know it?
Clearly he knows it.
I do. It's Garfield.
Yes.
They screened out Garfield?
They screened out Garfield comics along with the pornography. The internet filters are designed to block out any images showing vast expanses of flesh. So anyone hoping to check out the latest swimsuit issue will instead get a pop-up warning saying, harmful content, but the system's definition is so broad that even a poster for the Garfield movie got caught. Interestingly, Garfield made it through China's comedy filters without triggering a single alarm. Also, the program cannot differentiate between a photo of Paris Hilton and a photo of roast pork. This is true. So it blocked them both. It turns out the program is more advanced than the human brain. Humans have to have a conversation with Paris before they confuse her. With roast pork.
Oh, you say that now, but if she dies, you'll be at the Staples Center.
Right now, it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game on the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, my name's Christine. I'm calling from East Greenwich, Rhode Island.
Hey, how are things in East Greenwich?
East Greenwich is good. We finally had some sun.
That's good.
So can't complain.
Christine, it is great to have you with us. You're going to play the game in which you must tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Christine's topic?
Oh, there it is.
This week we read an amazing story of a person finding something lost in a most unlikely place. Our panelists will tell you three stories of discovery and recovery. Choose the real story. You'll win Carl's voice in your home answering machine. Ready to go?
I am.
Let's hear from Adam Felber.
When 17-year-old Hugh Holland was given his dad's old car last month, he knew one thing he was going to do. Take apart the passenger side door of the 12-year-old Ford Taurus and figure out once and for all why that darn window was always sticking. What he and his friend found was that the mechanism was jammed with a wedding ring, the jewelry identifiable because it was around what seemed to have once been part of a finger. Last week, when after dozens of emails and phone calls had transpired, the ring and the finger were reunited with their original owner, retired auto worker Gordon Hood of Dearborn, Michigan. A 1996 work-related accident had taken part of Hood's finger and his ring, which had never been located, until now. Young Mr. Holland describes the adventure as, quote, the coolest thing ever, while a delighted Mr. Hood said, quote, my wife always joked I did this just to improve my chances with the ladies. I finally proved her wrong. Said Mrs. Hood with a smile, this proves nothing.
A long-lost digit with accompanying jewelry found in the side of a car. Your next story of something turning up in the last place you look comes from Julia Sweeney.
After years of struggle, shy Erin Donnelly lost 40 pounds on Weight Watchers. With therapy, she overcame her introversion and even became a popular Weight Watchers leader in 2006. It was her dream come true. In 2008, Sharon Merkley joined Erin's group. Sharon was everything that Erin wasn't, extroverted, bubbly, and chatty. But as Sharon lost weight, she began to look a lot like Erin. Really a lot. When DNA tests confirmed that they were identical twin sisters, separated at birth, Sharon squealed, I have an identical twin I never knew existed, hooray! Erin said she immediately had a powerful and uncontrollable urge to have a margarita and chips and guacamole. Now Sharon is flipping the tables on Erin as she becomes an official Weight Watchers leader herself. Erin, who has gained an undisclosed amount of her weight back, says she'll probably attend Sharon's meetings. This is kind of a Kafka-esque nightmare, Erin whispered. Whatever that means, Sharon chirped, hugging her sister. I'm just so happy I could be here to help.
Identical twins find each other at Weight Watchers. Your last story of something lost now found comes from Paula Poundstone.
Cornwall resident Mrs. Jackie Ellery, a dinner lady at the Trevilgus Community College, lost her great tomcat Tango. She soldiered on, wondering with each ladle full of fish and chips or chowder where her great tom might have gotten off to. As luck would have it, her neighbor was watching political discussion show, Question Time, which, as luck would have it, is taped in front of a studio audience at Trevilgus Community College. And, as luck would have it, her great Tom Tango padded through. Mrs. Ellery's neighbor called her, and as luck would have it, she taped the show and showed it to Mrs. Ellery, who was reunited with her great Tom Tango. Surprisingly many participants in the question show say it was the most exciting thing that ever happened.
A lost cat appears on television, surprising her owner. So, let's review that. That story was from Paula Poundstone. You also heard from Julia Sweeney the story of identical twins finding each other at Weight Watchers, or at least they did once they lost the weight. And from Adam Felber the story of a guy finding a ring and ring finger in the door of his old car. Which of these is the true story of something lost being found in the news this week?
I think that the finger with the ring on it inside the door is the most unlikely, so I'm going to go with that one.
You think that's the most unlikely one?
Yes.
So you're going to choose that one. You're choosing Adam Felber's story of the lost ring and ring finger. Well, we actually spoke to someone who was there for this remarkable discovery.
Certainly nobody was really aware that a cat had entered the set, but then one of the panelists felt the cat brush against her leg under the table.
That was Steve Anderson. He's the executive producer of the BBC program Question Time, talking about the remarkable appearance of the lost cat on his show. As you have no doubt deduced, Paula had the real story this time.
Oh, me. Paula.
So I'm afraid you didn't win. But
Sorry. You
did earn a point for buying into Adam's somewhat grisly and remarkable story of the lost finger in the door of the car. So thank you so much for playing.
Thank you so much. I had a good time. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. And now the game where we invite on high-achieving people and overlook their achievements. When you hear the phrase female indie rocker, you think of breathy people who sort of hum about depression in a monotone. Not Nico Case. She is an amazing singer-songwriter whose voice is a strange cross between Patsy Cline and Edith Piaf. She's performed on her own and with bands like the New Pornographers. We are so pleased to have her with us. Nico Case, welcome to Wait, Wait.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
It's a pleasure to have you. Let's first try to define you for people who haven't been lucky enough to hear you. What would you define your genre of music? Is it, some people call it alt country, which I know is odd. What would you call it?
I don't really know what to call it. I'm a very loud singer. Loud.
You're loud. You're a loud, loud singer.
Modern, independent, loud singing.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Well, there is a section like that at my local CD.
Loud.
Yeah.
Well, actually, for people, let's play a little bit of your music, because I also am interested in the difference between your speaking voice and your singing voice. So here's a song. It's called Letter from an Occupant, which you did with the band The New Pornographers. So that's you singing. It doesn't sound like you talking. You're sort of like a modern-day Jim Neighbors in that regard.
The thing that's weird about that, and they didn't tell me this till years later, is they actually changed the pitch of that song. So I don't actually sing like that either.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's higher than I actually sing.
So you're kind of a modern-day Chipmunks.
Exactly. Every time I hear it, I was like, are you sure that was me who did that? And apparently it was.
Wow, who knew? Well, tell us about the life of an indie rock superstar. We imagine it's all just sort of glamour and groupies and debauchery.
Well, I think that that's for men in rock, but
really?
If you're a woman in rock, you find that basically people don't talk to you unless they're eBay guys who want you to sign stuff that they can sell on eBay later and they don't actually know who you are.
That's it?
But the glamorous rock and roll groupies hanging around and feeding you grapes and stuff, that doesn't really happen.
You mean you don't have skinny male hipsters throwing their ironic T-shirts at you?
Oh, my God, no.
Really?
It's only...
Do you wish you did?
The one time I ever saw a guy waiting to talk to me in line after the show, it turned out to be my cousin.
Oh, come on.
I'm not even kidding. I saw him and I was like, there is a tall, handsome guy waiting to talk to me. And he got up to me and sure enough, he wanted to talk to me. And he said, hi, I'm your cousin. And I was like, of course you are.
That's crazy.
Did he get a signature for something to sell on eBay as well while he was there?
No.
All right, you have lived, as far as we know, in Virginia, Washington State, Vancouver, Chicago, and Arizona, right? And you're a relatively young woman, and now you're moving to Vermont.
I'm kind of like a hobo.
What is chasing you, Nico Case?
Well, I lived in Vermont when I was little, and I always wanted to go back because everyone's so kind. And they don't age. It's really weird.
They don't age?
But I like that. They don't age.
But don't,
well,
traditionally...
Well, I don't know. I saw my friend's mom for the first time in 15 years a few months ago, and she was even wearing the exact same shirt that she'd been wearing the last time I saw her, which I was in, like, sixth grade.
My experience reading and watching a lot of science fiction growing up, instead of starting my own band like you did, is that communities where people don't age usually have a terrible dark secret. Like some sort of alien...
It could be
alien...
a pet cemetery situation.
Yeah,
I don't
for
know,
example.
But I'm going to find out.
There you're going to go. And we understand that in Vermont, you have a barn filled with pianos.
I do.
Why do you have a barn filled with pianos?
Well, I went on Craigslist to find a piano for the farmhouse, and there were so many free pianos that I thought it would be really hilarious to see how many free pianos you can get, because there was nobody wants their pianos, right? And then, you know, I also learned that free pianos aren't free, because you have to move them, and then you have to tune them. They're like having an entire team of draft horses or something. They're very high maintenance in the end. And also getting a piano on Craigslist does not guarantee that it is tunable. I have 8, and there are 6 that were tunable.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. So what do you do with 6 tuned pianos?
Well, what we did is we made a remote recording unit, and we had lots of people come out, some folks from the New Pornographers and myself, and Paul Rigby from my band, and Garth Hudson from the band.
Wow.
And we did some recording, and there's birds and frogs and all kinds of stuff that you can't get rid of on there, too, so that was pretty fun.
I think also a good question is, what do you do with 2 pianos that can't be tuned? Just not,
well,
the recordings aren't as
literally
good.
Literally put them out to pasture and let Jesus see what it looks like. I just thought it would look kind of good out in the field.
Yeah.
Resting. Piano in repose through the season.
Or you could plant
like
things
Beauty.
In it. That'd be great.
It'll be like Black Beauty at the end of Black Beauty.
It'll
and
be
I
great.
Have the remainder of my days on the soft grasses, you know.
Well, Nico Case, we are so pleased and honored to have you. Nico, we've invited you here to play a game. We're calling...
They taste like a magic combination of sugar, happiness, and chalk.
So obviously your parents were either fans of the drug-addicted singer Nico, the Velvet Underground, or, and we prefer this option, they just loved Necco wafers. Those are the yummy, hard little discs made by the New England Confectionery Company. So we are going to ask you, in fact, about Necco.
Bring it.
Bring it. All right. We put these together, 3
Bring
questions
it.
Together. We got help from Steve Almond. He's the author of a book called Candy Freak. Get 2 questions right, you win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice on their home answering machine. Ready to do this?
I'm ready.
All right. Carl, who is Nico Case playing for?
Peter, she is playing for Kate Bowman Johnson of Philadelphia.
Ready to play?
Yes. Right.
She's already ready.
Kate,
I'm
going to do my best for you.
All right. I like this focus here. The history of the candy, Necco wafers, goes back a long way. In fact, the wafers could be found where? A, floating on the water by the thousands after the sinking of the Titanic. B, in the rucksacks of Union soldiers during the Civil War. They just loved them. Or C, at Ellis Island in the 1890s, where they were the first, quote, American food many immigrants ever tried.
I'm going to go with C.
You're going to go with C, Ellis Island. The immigrants arriving there, being handed these dusty little wafers, going, oh, my God, the food here is small and dry and crunchy and tasteless. That's your choice?
That's my choice, yes.
Yeah, I'm afraid it was B. It was the Union soldiers.
No.
The candy was first made in 1847. And
come
Union
on, they
soldiers.
Always talk about hard tech. They never talk about Necco wafers. How come Ken Burns hasn't put that in the documentary?
Oh, yeah.
I watched it like 30 times. I know every single thing about every battle, but I don't know that they ate Necco wafers. I can picture their severed limbs on the battlefield, but they never said anything about Necco wafers.
No, didn't you hear it?
Lincoln mentions it in the Gettysburg Address.
Lincoln was too depressed to bring up the whole Necco wafer thing.
No, Necco wafers were first made in 1847, and Union soldiers carried them. They enjoyed them in extreme situations that could be thrown with great effect at the enemy.
You don't remember that from the Ken Burns documentary?
Well, it was in black and white. I couldn't tell if the little discs were colorful or not. So.
Oh, no, it was like
Garrison. My dearest Annabelle, thank you for the letter and for those delicious round wafers.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden,
Should you
send me some Necco wafers?
Set aside some Necco wafers for me at my funeral.
Today,
miraculously, I had a Necco wafer in my breast pocket, and it turned aside the.
Elijah Hunt Rose.
Here we go. Question number two. One of the enduring questions, maybe since those first days of the Necco wafer, maybe this is what they talked about, waiting for battle in the Civil War. What exactly are the purple ones supposed to taste like? Is it A, beet, B, clove, or C, steak?
I'm going to go with B, clove.
And you're right. They are clove-flavored candy.
Necco wafers under his saddle, and he wasn't in battle, which he never was.
He actually refused to commit his troops to the 7 days battle because he didn't have enough Necco wafers. Did you know that?
No, he didn't. They're not moving anywhere until the Necco wafers come. We must build a pontoon bridge to bring the Necco wafers.
General Lee's plans for the Battle of Antietam were found on a Necco wafers wrapper. All right.
Curse their Yankee candy. They drop it everywhere. They have no subtlety.
They're as flinty and indestructible as the candies they carry.
All right, here's your last question. Get this right, you win it all. Necco wafers today. Okay. They're odd tasting. They have one use in which they outshine any other confection. What is it? A, practice communion wafers for kids. B, leveling wobbly tables. Or C, replacement ammunition for the popular Rayline brand toy disc shooting guns.
All of those answers would probably be correct. I'm going to go with A.
You're going to go with A, the communion wafers?
Yeah, but
yes.
I mean, I never had one of those guns. I don't know.
Go with A. You're right. It's A. Congratulations. No, they're good for Necco wafers because of their shape, size, and lack of flavor are good for both practicing First Communion and for having your own ceremonies at home, if you're so inclined.
They build your relationship with the Lord like no other candy.
They really will. Carl, how did Necco Case do in our quiz?
Necco did very well, Peter. Two correct answers, so she wins for Kate Bowman Johnson. Congratulations,
oh,
Necco.
Oh, boy.
You did it. Congratulations.
Did it.
I love it. Necco Case is one of my favorite musicians. Her latest record is called Middle Cyclone. Necco, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for hosting me. Thank you.
Bye, Necco.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Good luck, Kate.
Baby, why am I worried now? Did someone make a fool of me? Before I could show 'em how it's done.
Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Adam, it is well known that Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad is a little threatened by the popularity of President Obama. So this week on live TV, he tried to show that he was just as good as our president at doing what?
Buying dogs.
No.
Playing basketball.
No, I'll give you a hint. He's devoted all of he's devoted all of Iranian's nuclear processing plants instead to making RAID.
Oh, he tried to catch a fly.
He tried to swat a fly. Yeah. Right. Ahmadinejad went on live TV in Iran to talk about how his recent election was the cleanest, fairest, most free in the world. And he was interrupted by a large flying bug of some kind. And now we all know how Obama handled that fly in the White House interview. Kapow! So, Ahmadinejad laying wait perfectly still, talking, luring the bug into a false sense of security. Then whack! But he missed. Another more desperate slap. No, bug's still fine, flying around, mocking him. So the Iranian president used a different tactic. He had the ruling mullahs of the country declare that despite what we all saw with our own eyes, the bug was really killed by a vast majority of Iranian voters. Paula, 2 months after being locked up in solitary confinement, officials in Afghanistan have released the nation's one and only what?
One and only plate spinner?
Nope. Plate spinner? Out of all the things in the world you picked up on, you picked plate spinner.
I love plate spinners, and there are very few of them.
That's true,
particularly in that region.
Officials say they were instructed to release the prisoner by a friendly spider who communicated via her web.
Oh, right, it was their only pig.
Their only
and
pig.
And they were concerned about the swine flu.
Exactly
so
right. We hear
it.
Wait.
And some theft.
Yeah, we reported on the banishment of Afghanistan's one and only pig back in the heyday of the swine flu panic. Well, we're happy to report that the pig, who goes by the name Pig, or Khanzir, which is Pashto for pig, is now free from his dreary concrete cell and back in his less dreary cage at the zoo. Still, this is great news to the many people petitioning for Pig or Khanzir's release, including the folks at PETA, the SPCA, and the mysterious man known only as Mohammed bin Jimmy Dean.
an elusive character, that Mohammed.
Yes, I know. Yes, let him out.
There are many links to him, but nobody's actually found him.
Terrible. Julia, Scotland Yard made news recently with a plan to mount video cameras in the helmets of his police officers. Now they're in trials across the UK. Some are reporting a problem with the helmet cams. What is it?
They get wet.
No, they don't get wet.
They get too hot.
They do, and then what happens?
They spark and electrocute them.
They burst into flames.
They burst into flames! Oh, my God!
The head of a London policeman's union revealed the problem earlier this week. He said, quote, "We're not against the helmet camera program, but a couple of them have caught fire, which isn't ideal."
A couple?
Yeah, which isn't ideal.
That's very English.
After the first one, they just thought, oh, it's just one.
It's a fluke.
The helmet cams are meant to provide a record of incidents between police and civilians. It turns out they have added benefits. They keep policemen's heads warm. And they quickly remove unsightly scalp hair. A spokesman for Scotland Yard disputed the report, said the helmets had merely emitted smoke, which led to reports of many British policemen acting out Benny Hill sketches.
It's just the stuff of classic old-timey English comedy, isn't it?
It really is.
Your head's on fire. Oh, you're not going to get me with that one. Come along.
Better stop filming me. Your head's going to burst into flames.
No, it won't.
It won't.
Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. You can send an email to waitwait@npr.org. You can also go to our website at waitwait.npr.org, where you can find out about attending our weekly live shows here at the Chase Auditorium in Chicago, or you can download the Wait Wait podcast for your computer or MP3 player. And we're on Twitter, one of the many ways we are just like Oprah. You can find us at twitter.com/waitwait. Hi, you're on Wait Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hello, Peter. This is Rajiv Dharmapurikar in Durham, North Carolina.
Hey, Rajiv, how are you?
Oh, doing well, doing
That's
well.
That's great. Durham is a beautiful place. We were just near there recently. What do you do there?
I run a software startup company, and I also sell handmade bobbleheads on eBay.
You sell handmade bobbleheads on eBay?
Yes.
Making a living doing this?
Well, yeah, it pays the bills.
That is awesome.
Well, we're glad to have you here. Carl Castle is going to read you now three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly, and two of the limericks will be a winner. Ready to go?
Absolutely.
Here's your first limerick.
My soft furry friend snores like a log, though I trip on words, he's not agog. While he's not quite literate, he's very considerate. I love to read to my...
dog?
Yes, you're his dog. According to recent research, kids who read to the household pet learn more quickly than those who read to adults. One supplier of listening ear dogs to school says, quote, the scheme works because the dogs are non-judgmental. They won't laugh at stammers or get impatient. This is probably because dogs are much more plot-focused. They're really interested in hearing exactly how Clifford came to be so big and so red. Organizers did offer some cautions. They referred to a lamented instance in which dogs became upset and jumped out the window after listening to the end of Old Yeller. Very good. Here is your next limerick.
My oddly shaped carrots smile smugly. See, we're not just clubs that are juggly. Despite our odd shape, we'll do in a scrape. You can sell us, although we are...
Unlike my bobbleheads, ugly.
Ugly. Everyone, bring your weird, warty beans out of hiding. The European Union has lifted its strict ban against ugly fruits and vegetables. Mm. No longer will deformed mangoes have to hide in the shadows of their perfectly formed brethren. The ban is intended to help families afford cheaper, their weird-looking fruits and vegetables. One organic farmer hailed the change, said, quote, we are about inner quality, not outer appearance, unquote. New rules will grade fruits and vegetables with the following scale, grade A, grade B, nice personality, and best eaten with the lights off.
You know the oranges that have a peel that's kind of too big and it's wrinkly, and my kids and I call them ugly oranges. Do you know the ones?
I think I do.
They're very sweet.
You mean the emotionally scarred ones?
Yes.
They have a lot to offer, you know.
Yes, I know.
Yes, the ones that are kind of shy and just face the bottom of the fruit bowl. No, I had no idea that any such organization existed.
There you are. All right, very good. Here is your last limerick.
The pigeon sneers, well, it's a start, but right now it looks like a flow chart. For a dog's wee-wee pad, it's really not bad, but please, darling, don't call it...
Can I hear it again?
Your name.
The pigeon sneers, well, it's a start, but right now it looks like a flow chart. For a dog's wee-wee pad, it's really not bad. But please, darling, don't call it...
art?
Art, yes. If you've ever thought that the pigeons on your window ledge were sneering at your velvet paintings of dogs playing poker, you were right. According to a study published in the journal Animal Cognition, pigeons are able to distinguish good art from bad art. The pigeons are placed in a chamber and shown pictures of children's art on a computer screen. If they pecked at the pictures that were deemed to be good art, they received a treat, while if they pecked at bad art, they received no treat and were humiliated with derisive sniffs from people holding wine glasses. Once trained, the pigeons proved themselves to be discerning art connoisseurs, consistently pecking at the good paintings more than the bad paintings. Turns out, all that pigeon poop on statues, informed criticism.
All right. This once again begs a question that has often come up on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, which is who funds these studies? It's you, isn't it?
I was about to say we do.
It's all of us. Yeah.
Otherwise, we'd have nothing to talk about. We pull. We take a collect. You know the money we've been collecting after each show? It's been for the study.
There is no study that somebody, that's a prank. There is absolutely no study where a pigeon looks at art and then pecks on it. First of all, if it was good art, now it has a pigeon peck on it.
Well, they're screens.
Look,
Paul.
Do you like the Van Gogh? Oh, no.
Carl, how did Rajiv do in our quiz?
Rajiv, you had three correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on your home answering machine.
Well done.
Thank you. That's awesome.
Rajiv. Thank you, Rajiv.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Now it's time to move on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill in the blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
Adam Felber has a good lead, Peter. He has 6 correct answers. Julia Sweeney has 2. Paula Poundstone has 1.
Paula, you are in third place, so you're up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank.
Start anytime.
After U.S. and South Korean government websites were hacked, South Korea says it blamed hackers from blank.
North Korea.
Right. On Wednesday, Democratic congressional members said that Leon Panetta had admitted in closed session that the blank had misled Congress.
CIA.
Right. Because of the riots in China, President Hu Jintao cut short his visit to the blank in Italy.
G8.
Right. A Minnesota woman is seeking a new trial after being fined over $1 million for illegally downloading 24 blanks.
Pigeon-supported artworks.
No. Songs, just songs. Airline passengers facing an 8-hour delay because of a mechanical problem successfully took off after a passenger blanked.
Died.
No, volunteered to fix the plane. Crushing the hopes of teen girls everywhere, Kevin, the oldest of the brothers in the blank band, announced his engagement.
The Jonas Brothers.
Right. Firefighters in Switzerland were able to save an elderly woman from her burning television last week by blanking.
By using their water hats.
By changing the channel. The woman had her television tuned to a station that was broadcasting images of a fireplace with a blazing fire and one of the perils of HD. When the woman saw the flames practically leaping off the screen, she knew she needed professional help. Firefighters arrived, and as the police stated in their report, the fire was extinguished with the press of a button. Carl, how did Paula do?
Paula had 4 correct answers for 8 more points. She now has 9 points, and Paula has taken the lead.
All right. Very well done. No. Okay, Julia, you're up next. Fill in the blank. The president of Costa Rica will mediate talks between the interim government of blank and its ousted president.
Oh, Honduras.
Right. After 4 hours of deliberation, the South Carolina Republican Party voted to censure blank.
Mark Sanford.
Right. To help finance the health care system, the White House announced it had reached an agreement with the nation's blanks.
Republicans?
No. Ha ha. Hospital.
Like, that can't be right.
Architect of the Vietnam War, former Defense Secretary Blank, died Monday at age 93.
Oh, McNamara.
Right, Robert McNamara. Researchers at the University of Exeter have discovered that cockroaches that eat unhealthy diets can blank.
Live longer?
Get fat.
Oh, they can get fat.
True. Federal prosecutors dropped stalking charges filed against former D.C. Mayor Blank.
Oh, Marion Barry.
Right. An ailing British design company has sought to boost employee morale by instituting blanks.
By instituting something?
Yes.
Parties after work?
No. Naked Fridays. That's right. Employees at One Best Way Company in Newcastle upon Tyne were encouraged to strip by a business psychologist who was brought in to boost morale. The company said the move was a success with an increase in productivity when everyone refused to get up out of their chairs. The move did have a downside, an increase in what can only be called extreme paper cuts. Fat guy in accounting who lost his stapler, you don't want to know where they found it. Carl, how did Julia Sweeney do in our quiz?
Julia had 4 correct answers for 8 more points. She now has 10 points, and Julia has taken the lead.
Oh, I'm so excited.
All right, then. How many does Adam Felber need to win?
2 to tie, 3 to win outright.
All right.
I'll make it 4.
This is for the game. Adam fill in the blank. After an 8-month legal battle, former Saturday Night Live comedian Blank was sworn in as a senator from Minnesota.
Oh, Al Franken.
Right. A sting by the General Accounting Office revealed that the agency was able to smuggle materials to make blanks into 10 federal buildings.
Bombs.
Right. The Commonwealth of Massachusetts sued the U.S. government on Wednesday over blank rights.
Gay marriage.
Right. Investigators in Florida worked to discover what caused last week's deadly blank crash at Disney World.
Monorail.
Right. In an attempt to help his students feel more comfortable, a teacher in Austria is allowing them one blank during exams.
Text message.
Phone a friend lifeline. After nearly 40 years in the job, Blank retired as host of the American Top 40 Countdown Show.
American Top... Casey Kasem?
Right. For the third straight year, Joey Chestnut beat out his arch-rival Takeru Kobayashi to win Coney Island's annual Blank Contest.
Hot dog eating.
Right. To encourage tourism, Chinese officials announced that visitors to the Gendang Mountain may witness the rare sight of the mountain blanking.
filling out its taxes.
No, the rare sight of seeing a mountain laying an egg. Let me say that again.
What?
Seeing a mountain laying an egg. According to officials at Gulu Village, the mountain has laid more than 100 eggs, each one the size of a car tire, and appearing in a socket on the mountain cliff. The local tourism director announced, quote, another mountain egg is expected to be laid soon. If people like visitors have long enough patience, they may view the astonishing scene of a mountain laying an egg.
And then he giggled insanely.
When questioned about the plausibility of a mountain laying an egg, the director directed reporters to the instructional video, How Baby Mountains Are Born. Carl, did Adam do well enough to win?
He did, Peter. He had 6 correct answers for 12 more points. So with 18 points, Adam Felber is this week's champion.
Well done.
Thank you.
Yay.
You saw that coming, Adam, I just want to say. In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists to predict what Sarah Palin will do next. But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 750,000 tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves. The John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. And the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and Chicago Public Radio. In association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Berman, executive producer. Philip Godica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our intern is Bethany Williams. Our web guru, Beth Novi. Engineers include Les Delarchik and Muhammad Mao. Thanks to John Zajac at Chase Bank. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Ian Chillog, Eva Walchover, and Emily Ecton. Technical direction from Robert Newhouse and Lorna White. The senior producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mike Danforth. Now, panel, what is next for Sarah Palin? First, Julia Sweeney.
Sarah Palin will take over for Elizabeth Hasselbeck on The View when she goes on maternity leave, and then Sarah Palin can go on maternity leave, and they can go back and forth together on The View. I actually really think that's going to happen.
It could. Adam Felber.
She's going to head into the wilderness and attempt to salvage a rapidly dying, wasted tundra populated by some of our nation's oldest and most threatened creatures, the Republican Party.
And Paula Poundstone.
She'll take a job on ESPN, where she will use her knowledge of politics and history to form analogies to explain sports absurdities.
Well, if Sarah Palin does any of those things, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Carl Castle. Thanks also to Paula Poundstone, Adam Felber, and Julia Sweeney. Thanks to all of you for listening. I am Peter Sagal, and we'll see you next week. This is NPR, National Public Radio.